Good morning, church. It's good to see everyone. Today's reading will be from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 to 10. If you have your Bibles, you could open it. If not, I'm sure they'll be showing somewhere there. It says, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not for yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." May I read this 10 from New Living Translation? It says, "For we are God's masterpiece." I love that. Just dwell on that. This is the word of God.
Thank you, Sister Enuma. I should have left her to carry on preaching because she was already going for it. I think we are going to get you on the rota, Enuma. No escape. Good to see everybody, and good to be here. The church I grew up in Uganda, it was very common to get responses when someone is out preaching. So hearing amens and praise the Lord when you hear something good, something that encourages you. And I thought this morning, I would like to hear one. So when I say God is good, I would like you to respond all the time. And when I say all the time, you say God is good. So let's practice that. God is good and all the time. And that's his nature. Amen. Let me pray as well. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this morning that has been beautifully read to us by Enuma. May you reveal yourself to us this morning through your word. May we be changed and transformed by what you have for us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So we are carrying on with the book of Ephesians. In our sermon series for this month. And today we are thinking about reconnecting with the purposes of Jesus. Reconnecting with the purposes of Jesus. Last Sunday, when Jenny was preaching, we looked at how Paul was praying that God would grant us the spirit of wisdom and revelation, that we may be enlightened to know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of his inheritance in the saints, and what is his exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe. That's what we looked at last Sunday, and I hope those words were sinking in as God was revealing to you what he's saying to us. God is good. Thank you. And all the time. And that's his nature. Amen. In today's passage, we start off with a description of the human condition apart from the grace of God, the human nature apart from the grace of God. And Paul, who wrote Ephesians, he refers to the Gentiles first when he says, "As for you, he made you alive, you who were dead in transgressions and sins," describing further that in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. So he was referring to them. And then he switches to say, to include himself in the description, and including you and me, everyone, saying that all of us once lived, all of us also lived like them, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature, following the desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. So everyone is included in this, that we were dead without the grace of God. We were dead in our sins. And when I was writing all this, I remembered, I thought I would mention that during lockdown, I developed a love for houseplants, just like many people. And so far, I have learned the hard way that if I don't water the plant, it will be dead. But I must report that, to my surprise, a number of them are still surviving. And I want to point out to Grandma Doreen, the plant you gave me is still going. It's still healthy. Although there's this particular one that is right, that small cactus plant that is right in front of my computer desk that is still standing, even though it looks dead. It's definitely requesting for something more than just water. Dead. The words dead are very hard to hear, especially on a Sunday morning. Dead in transgressions, that we follow the ways of the world, we're gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature, by nature objects of wrath. These are words that are hard to hear, but they are true because of God's great love for us. God, rich in mercy, he made us alive when we were dead in our transgressions and sins. He made us alive in him. It is by grace that we have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. Verse 3 of our reading describes a life that is turned in on itself, satisfying the cravings of our sinful nature, following the desires and thoughts of our sinful nature. And then verse 10 describes a life that has been given a new focus, a new orientation, the outcome being a complete contrast to the old way of life. Because of us being God's workmanship, created in him, created in Jesus to do the good works which God prepared for us to do. So there should be a contrast between a life lived by grace through faith in Christ, as we are told in verse 10, and a life determined by desires of our flesh and mind, as we are told in verse 3. And at what point does this transformation happen? So when we receive the free gift of God in Jesus, when we believe and trust in him, we are told in John chapter 1, verse 12, that as many as received him, as many as believed in him, he gave the right to become children of God. So when we believe in him, then he works in us. God is good. And all the time. Amen. I would like to draw your attention to three points that I picked up from this passage. The first point is the nature of God. The second point is our new identity in Christ. And the third point is what our response should be. First of all, the nature of God. So the initiative has always been God, from the start to finish. It has always been his mercy, his love. He takes away this state of us being dead. And through Jesus, he transforms us and makes us alive in him. Through Jesus, we are given a fresh start in life. His power at work in us through the Holy Spirit. I have personally experienced this transformation power, because the person I am today is not the person I used to be 10 years ago. And I'm still on this journey of being transformed into what God wants me to be. I have also witnessed this transformation in my dad from the person he used to be to the person that he became after giving himself to Jesus to transform him, to do that work. When we see him now, we can only say that it is God who has brought about that transformation. God is good, and all the time. Amen. The nature of God. So God stands apart from us in every way. God is utterly holy, and he dwells in heaven's perfection, where there is no sin. Well, for us, we struggle constantly with sin. We live in a broken world, and we are constantly struggling with sin. God has all power. He needs nothing from us, and he knows everything. And us, in our humanness, we are powerless, and we are needy. There is much we do not know, and there is much we do not understand. But the God who created us, he did not abandon us in this broken world. He never abandoned us in this sinful state. He did the unimaginable. God sent his son to enter the world as a helpless baby, live a perfect life, and die a painful death. He did it for you. He did it for me. God became a man to enable sinners to live a new life in him. God is good. And all the time. And that's his nature. Amen. That's the nature of God. Him doing it from beginning to end. And my next point, our new found identity in Christ. Our new identity in Christ. Verse 6 of our passage says, he raised us up together with Christ. We who were dead have now been made alive in Christ. By grace you have been saved through faith. It's not of ourselves. It's not of our efforts bringing ourselves into life. It is a gift of God that he has given us. And so, is God the source of your comfort? Is he the source of your identity? Is the foundation of your identity rooted in who God is, in this gift that he has given us through Jesus? Knowing where my identity lies gives me the courage and strength to love the unlovable, to forgive those very deep wounds that have been done to me, to go out into the world and serve the poor, to go out into the world and fight injustices. As a ministry in the work of Christians Against Poverty here, we are constantly facing unmanageable situations, and we would not have been able to do it if we did not have our identity in Jesus and in God working in us. In your day-to-day work, in your day-to-day responsibilities, without having your identity as Jesus being the foundation of your identity, you wouldn't be able to stand, because the world is very harsh when we go out in there, as you might have all realized through the pandemic and other things. How does life look different when you believe God came near to us in Jesus and made you alive in him? He hears every sinner who calls to him for salvation. If you know Jesus as Savior, God is with you this very moment. He will never leave us nor forsake us, as we are told in Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6. Jesus being near, Jesus being with us, it impacts our life today. It impacts our life all the time. You do not walk alone. You don't walk in life alone. You are not left in helpless confusion. You are not left in this slavery to sin on your own. because God is always with you when you believe in him. Those that trust in Jesus, they know his presence, they experience his power, and they rest in his peace. Those that trust in Jesus know his presence, experience his power, and rest in his peace. For our identity is in the one who made us alive in him. God is good. And all the time. And that's his nature. Amen. And finally, what should my response be? My response should be to worship him. Because if it was not for him, I don't know where I would be. My response should be to learn about this God who has saved me when I do not deserve to be saved. To know him through studying scriptures. The more I get to know him, the more I am changed from the inside out. We don't study the Bible to just know scriptures off head and love the Bible, but we study the Bible to know and love God. To know and love God. For God is perfect. God's word is perfect because God is perfect. And the light he shines in our hearts through scripture is sufficient to satisfy our deepest longings. It's sufficient to occupy our praise for all eternity. His purpose is to preserve us for eternity. He's not doing all this so that we have our best life now, free from problems. No. Jesus told his disciples that in this life you'll face many troubles. And I'm sure we all have stories of the troubles that we are constantly facing, the illnesses, the different things that we're constantly going through. But when we rest in him, we find that we have all that we need to be able to stand and face all that is coming towards us. God is good. And all the time. And that's his nature. I would like to call the worship band up as I conclude. I just wanted to encourage us this morning. I talked about my house plants that are teaching me about watering and needing to be fed in order to survive. And I was just thinking that we all need this watering in order to survive. We all need even more than water, food, and all that God has for us. We are all in need of refreshment from the fountain that never runs dry. We need to come to this fountain that never runs dry, to Jesus that is constantly giving us, constantly feeding us. For some of you, it might be all the time. But as we go out into the world, in whatever capacity we are in, we need to be watered, we need to be fed by him. And so let us come to this fountain that does not run dry. Let us reconnect to his purposes by coming to him and drinking from him, resting in him, being reminded of our identity in him, receiving him, believing in him, and then going out in that power, not relying on our own strength and our own wisdom and our own ability, but relying on his power because we constantly feeding from him. For we are his workmanship. We are his workmanship created in him for the work that he has created for us to do. We don't do this on our own, but in him. And I would like to invite Jonathan to come and pray for us. Could we all stand up and just let those words sink in. And the worship team is going to sing that Psalm 42, about as the deer comes forth from, as As the deer pants for the streams of water, so my soul faints for you, O God. And Jonathan is going to pray for us, and then we shall sing that song together.
We bring to God our thirsts, or even our thirst for a thirst. As the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you. My soul longs for the living God, who quenches every thirst in Jesus. Whatever we are thirsty for, we bring it before King Jesus, who promised streams of living water would flow. By this he meant the Holy Spirit. It's a sign of your thirst, or a thirst for a thirst like theirs, to refresh you, to reconnect you with this living one. If you wish, you'd simply just open up your hands as a sign of opening up our heart, our very spirit. Lord Jesus, would you pour out the living water of your presence upon your thirsty people?